This is football. I am Kevin Clark. Big episode. Rome Odunze, one of the best players in the draft, joins to start us off. I was blown away, and you will be too. I really enjoyed this. And then Matt Harmon, works for Yahoo Sports, specializes in a receiver position, takes us through the top receivers in the draft, top receivers in the NFL, what we can learn about the last few years of the receiver position in the NFL draft. I learned a lot. I mean, it's a position that changes seemingly every year, and Matt is on top of that. Reminder, 5-star reviews. Love you guys. Everybody's been doing that recently. Love you. Helps everybody. Again, this is a community we've built has been really special, and it helps everybody to have 5-star reviews. With that said, ladies and gentlemen, Rome Odunze.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
All right, Rome Odunze, one of the best wide receivers in the draft, one of the best players in the country. He's here with Snickers Ice Cream Chiller. What's going on, man?
I'm doing well, doing well. Thanks for having me.
All right, so there's a lot to get to because there's a lot of intrigue about the top of this draft, the top 10, the top half of the first round. Obviously, Washington had an incredible run last year, so a lot to unpack, but I'll start with this. Is there anything that surprised you about the draft process? Because we've had a lot of either ex-players, current players, and they just talk about things that pop up, and you're like, ooh, I wasn't prepared for this. Anything pop up so far, I'd be like, I did not expect this to be this way.
I don't know. Maybe a lot of the waiting. Like, I mean, you were around. A lot, you know, especially during the combine, and whether it's in, you know, in airports when you're visiting different teams, yeah. there's a lot of waiting around for different things. So I think that was a surprising part of it. You know, I thought I would be, you know, moving, which I am, but there is a lot of waiting involved as well.
Is there anything you can do? Like, do you play on your phone, text people, catch up with friends? Like, what do you do when you're just sitting around waiting to get weighed in or whatever?
No, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, when I have my phone, I'm on my phone. If I'm waiting or, you know, if I'm posted up in a hotel before a visit or something, I'm on Xbox, you know, playing games. I find time to pass the time for sure.
I love that. One thing I love about you, I listened to a bunch of your interviews last night in preparation for this. And one thing I liked is that you're not shying away from wanting to be the best wide receiver in this class. And there's a lot of guys who come in and say, oh, it's just an honor to be grouped in with those guys, whatever the position group. And you've said you want to go and get that. I'll start here. If I'm a GM in the top 10 and I'm saying, why should you be the first wide receiver off the board? What's your pitch to me?
For me, I feel like I'm the complete package, you know. From a football standpoint, I feel like I'm the most complete, you know, receiver in the draft. And, you know, that's not like a safe phrasing of it. I just feel like I do think a lot of different things very well on a football field when it comes to blocking, playing, you know, inside, outside receiver, you know, catch radius, catch contested catches, separation, releases. I feel like there's so many different aspects of my game that I do well. And then, you know, I feel like the locker room presence that I bring and the yeah. leadership that I bring to any organization I'll be a part of, as well as, you know, my involvement within the community as well. I feel like it is second to none.
That's a great answer. I want you to take me through a play. I like kind of figuring out how guys' football minds work. The catch against Oregon, 1:43 left on the clock. All the actions going to the right. Michael Penix trusts you on the left. It's a jump ball. And I want to get into kind of the art of the contested catch in general after this. But take me through that play and what made that connection special.
Oh man, I think the preparation, that went into it. We had been preparing for moments like that for a year, into that moment. We even goes back to last year when Michael, first got there and the new staff first got there. We had been working towards those moments. So, for him to trust me in that instance, I think both of us are type of players. Like we're, on any given play, just get the job done. That's kind of our mindset, regardless of what happened the play before. It's always about the next play. So in that moment, we were completely focused and ready to make it happen.
It's so hard. I mean, I know this is a terrible thing to say and reductive, but like it's easy to catch the ball when you're open. It's harder when you're adjusting for it all the time and you're doing jump balls and contested catches. What's the art of that? Because I've talked a lot about to Ja'Marr Chase actually a lot about this, about how to learn how to position your body and kind of the quarterback has to know what you're going to do and what shoulder to throw to. Take me through kind of the sixth sense you developed as far as adjusting on those contested catches.
Absolutely. I think, Ja'Marr kind of hit the nail on the head there with that. It's definitely about, knowing how to adjust your body and when to do it and what position your body needs to be in to be able to make an athletic, explosive movement at the catch point. I say one of the biggest things is just timing. I think contested catches are all about timing because, making sure that you're putting your hands out at a time and catching the ball when the DB, is maybe looking away or, isn't expecting it. When you do that, it allows you to, have an edge because, any DB can knock the ball out of your hands if you're waiting with your hands out, right? And that's not gonna work. But when you flash your hands and you have those late hands and you're able to make those explosive movements, kind of on a snap, that puts a lot of pressure on the DB.
Anything special you remember about that Oregon play as far as laid hands, as far as that goes, as far as reading the DB that would stand out?
Yeah, absolutely. I remember, I was even with him. I was pretty much even, and I seen the ball coming in, and he was still looking at me. So I knew I had the opportunity to go grab it. And I waited till like the last instance, and I knew that he was, gonna try and get his hand through my hands, when I caught the ball. So I did at the last instance, and I kind of caught it and like spinned away, pulling the ball away from him. So that way, he couldn't get his hand in there to knock it out. So I think it was a combination of those two things.
Yeah, terrific. All right, so you've been compared by a bunch of people, a couple of different comps. I heard Chris Sims the other day comp you to Devontae Adams first, then Keenan Allen second. Two pretty good guys to be comped to. Obviously, two superstars who made a lot of money and won a lot of big games. Is there a guy that you study, whether it's those two guys or anybody else, where you say this is the type of guy I want to be at the NFL room?
Yeah, that's actually crazy that you say that. Those are two of the top guys that I watch film on. Yeah, Keenan Allen, definitely, and Devontae Adams, 100%. I watch their game a lot. Their route running, the releases. I try and emulate some of the skills that they have into my game. So yeah, I think those are pretty spot on.
Is there any, we go through both of them, is there anything you've picked up specifically where you're just like, okay, I can do this better because these guys do it?
Yeah, absolutely. I'm a big fan of Devontae Adams' split release. He kind of comes to the line. He has that kind of basketball footwork where he's coming off. He's like kind of like a crossover. Something that I'm still working on trying to perfect. He's pretty much untouchable right now. So I'm trying to get like him. But definitely have tried to put reps in that and have used it in some games as well. But still working on getting it as clean as his for sure.
What's the process? And obviously, when talking about making adjustments in the catch and contested catches, you're obviously after going with live reps against DBs. What is that? Is it more reps against trying to find DBs somewhere to play against in the off season when you're training? Like, what's the process of getting better at that kind of technique?
I think one of the biggest thing is just making yourself uncomfortable. You can't continually do the same thing over and over to practice contested catches because each contested catch is different. You got to put your mind in, unique situations and uncomfortable situations. So for me, that was using tall bags or using people swatting at my arms, different things like that while I'm trying to catch the ball. That allows me to kind of just feel uncomfortable. And you can't replicate each and every time it's going to happen in the game. But if your mind is used to being comfortable in uncomfortable situations, which is kind of a paradox in that way, but it's true. I think when you're able to make those adjustments in those uncomfortable situations, it allows you to continually make those plays, even though they're different every time.
It's interesting to me. We had a Greg McElroy on our show earlier this week, and he was talking about how Greg, great players tend to have a chip on their shoulder. You're talking about quarterbacks, but I think it extends through everywhere. And some guys can find that through just reading a mean tweet and being able to do, you know, 20 extra reps because of it, or they just from something in their life where they're like, hey, this is going to keep me going forever. I know the national championship loss probably weighs on you heavily, but when you're, and this is a big question, but like, you know, when you need to do 10 more reps or 10 more sprints or whatever, where are you pulling from?
Oh yeah, no, definitely. I agree with that, but for sure, you know, I'm not on the, I'm like the Jordan level, like a player didn't hold the door for me. So I dropped 50 on him or something like that. But, I think a lot of my drive just comes from, you know, my why and my family, knowing where they come from. You know, I come from, my family comes from humble beginnings. My pops had a family, Nigerian immigrants, mom's had a family farmer. So, they're hardworking and they don't come from a lot. So for me, it's like, anytime, you know, I need the extra, you know, motivation or extra reps. It's like, okay, you know, what would they have done? You know, what did the sacrifices they put in to have success? So, I think about them a lot.
I this is another kind of philosophical question, but I'm interested going through the draft process. Is there one thing you wish teams could measure that they can't? Like, if you're trying to say, like, you know, obviously you're jumping high, you're fast, all that stuff, your measurables, your athleticism is great. Do you wish there was a way to like measure certain things? And obviously can't measure intangibles, but going through it, what kind of things are you having to tell teams, like, trust me, I can do this, that can't be measured at the combine or even on tape?
Oh man. Man, that's a good question. And I mean, if it were fresh off the combine, I might, you know, have something more specific, but I don't know. I mean, honestly, I don't think so. I mean, I just feel like I wish there was more of a consensus on like film and, you know, on the, you know, the things that, you know, the people can have different opinions on. I wish it was a little bit more concrete. You know, there's so many different statistics and different things that people pull, like regarding which receiver they like, because, you know, there's some stats that support one receiver, right? And then another stat that supports another, you know, or diminishes one. So I wish it was a little bit more concrete and had more of a consensus with that. But nah, man, they evaluate you on everything.
Yep. Do you look at Twitter and YouTube and just look at the scouting reports? Because there's so many armchair analysts now who say, oh, this is my wide receiver one, this is my wide receiver two, and you can get evaluation everywhere. Do you block that out, or do you look into it?
No, I mean, I see it. I definitely see it. You know, I mean, people mention me and I see different things on social media, and I definitely see it, but it's never anything that I'm like seeking or like going to be like, oh, what are they saying about me? And definitely not something, you know, I'm considering on actually evaluating me as a player. Cause you know, I think it's, you know, there's a lot of, you know, like you said, you know, Twitter warriors and experts out there that, you know, came into that profession nobody knows how, but I do think it's interesting, right? I mean, you know, perception is reality. So you know, if that continues to be a consensus about your play, then maybe something you decide to work on or address, you know, hopefully on the football field.
Quick ones for you. Toughest player you played against in college? If a GM after a draft says, hey, we want to pick another guy, who's the toughest guy you played against where you just been nightmare to play against? Who are you picking?
I would congratulate the Chiefs because they got him, Trent McDuffie. Trent McDuffie is probably the hardest player I've won against. Yeah.
Wow. Okay. That segues into our next thing. It's called badasses. It's the most badass player you've ever been around in football. Now, oftentimes we talk to older NFL players who have a lot of track record and talk about some guy they played with in the league. For you, it's college or a guy you played against. The way I phrase it is, you know, an alien comes down and says, take me to the most badass football player you've ever been around. Who are you taking us to?
I would probably say Roger Rosengarten, our tackle.
Yeah.
Our right tackle. He's a badass for sure.
Yeah, what makes him a badass?
Man, I just think, you know, what he's played through, you know, the injuries that he's played through, his mindset, you know, when he's in the trenches, his mentality on finishing players consistently, I think is unique to him, you know, and especially, you know, those trench dogs that they have down there. So the adversity that he plays through, the injuries and also, or the nicks and knacks, I guess, and then also just his mindset on finishing the play.
Last thing for you, tell us something we don't know about Rome Odunze, whether that's TV, whether that's what you know, reading, whatever it is, like a fact that we just don't know, something you're into that would surprise people.
I'm really into stand-up comedy. I
what?
Really like comedy. Yeah.
Like who?
Anybody, man. I mean, Kevin Hart is classic, Dave Chappelle, Bill Burr, Cat Williams. I'm naming all the major ones. I just watched one yesterday. Oh, I love Shane Gillis' new special. Yeah, big stand-up comedy guy.
Wow. Okay. Great. I saw. I ran into Shane Gillis talking to Daniel Jones at the Super Bowl. So he
Yeah.
obviously he know he's an NFL fan. So you can probably hang out with him at some point.
Yeah, hopefully get some material for sure.
All right. Tell us what you're doing with Snickers ice cream.
Yeah, so I'm here with Snickers ice cream, and they have this limited edition holder that they're making that you can't get in stores. It's limited edition exclusive that they have to, it's just to make sure everybody enjoying their ice cream bars out there is very sure-handed, because it's like my hands. It's perfect. It's kind of like this right here.
Oh wow, we got props
See this?
for the
Yeah.
YouTube audience.
This is actually a perfect resemblance of my hand. If perfectly.
There it is.
And yeah, so from April 18th to May 2nd, you can go to snickers.com/ ice cream chiller and get a chance to win the exclusive holder to ensure you won't drop it.
You should have gotten those hands measured at the combine.
I know. I would have been probably first overall with those.
Awesome, man. Roma Dunze, thank you so much for going. This is football, man.
Thank you.
All right, we'll be back with Matt Harmon after this. Why should you bet with Caesars Sportsbook? Two words, Caesars Rewards. Every bet brings you closer to the types of benefits only Caesars can offer. Hotel stays, VIP experiences, sports and concert tickets, and more. It's not just an app, it's an empire. 21 and up, must be physically present in Arizona, Colorado, Illinois, Indiana, Iowa, Kansas, Louisiana, Maryland, Massachusetts, Michigan, Nevada, New Jersey, New York, Ohio, Pennsylvania, Tennessee, Virginia, West Virginia, Wyoming, or Washington, D.C. Sports betting is void in Georgia, Hawaii, Utah, and other states where prohibited. Know when to stop before you start. Gambling problem? Illinois, Maryland, New Jersey, Ohio, Tennessee, Virginia, West Virginia, Pennsylvania, affiliated with Harris, Philadelphia. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem, crisis counseling and referral services can be accessed by calling 1-800-GAMBLER, 1-800-426-2537. Or Maryland, visit mdgamblinghelp.org. Or West Virginia, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. Arizona, call 1-800-NEXT-STEP. Colorado, D.C., Nevada, Wyoming, Kansas, affiliated with Kansas Crossing Casino, call 1-800-522-4700. Indiana, call 1-800-9-WITH-IT. Iowa, call 1-800-BETS-OFF. Louisiana, call 1-877-770-STOP. Licensed through Horseshoe, Bossier City, and Harrah's, New Orleans. Massachusetts, if you or a loved one is experiencing problems with gambling, please call 1-800-327-5050. Or visit gamblinghelplinema.org for 24/7 support. Michigan, call 1-800-270-7117. New York, call 1-877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue, and ready for the play. And boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
All right, Matt Harmon, Yahoo Sports, Perception. One of the receiving gurus in the world. How did you brand yourself as a receiving guru? Well, the answer is in the reception perception in this charting process. We'll start here. Explain your process, how you evaluate wide receivers at the pro level, and then we'll get to college.
Yeah, so for me, Kevin, it was when I wanted to kind of break into the football industry. I have no connections. I didn't obviously play the game at the pro level, college level, anything like that. So I wanted to kind of find a niche for myself. And for me, it was answering the question, the biggest question that I had about football, which is, we know this as people that follow the game, wide receiver production is so inherently dependent on outside variables in order to get on the stat sheet. I mean, obviously we know they got to have a good quarterback, all that, but so much of it goes into it from a system perspective, from a role perspective, certainly just from an overall environment, team competition perspective. So what I wanted to do was really find a way to try to isolate wide receiver performance from those surrounding variables. So what I do is, over an 8-game sample for NFL players and college players, when there's 8 games of film available, I go in and I chart every single snap, where they take that snap. Are they off the line of scrimmage? Are they in the slot? Are they outside? Are they right? Are they left? Are they in the backfield? I chart every single route that they run over that sample, you know, what route type it is, how often are they getting open on that route type, man, zone, press coverage. So really, again, the goal is to give you every piece that you'd want to know about a wide receiver. Tackle breaking ability is also included in reception perception. And really, what the people love most is definitely the success rate versus man, zone, press coverage. And that is shown to be the most predictive of future success, certainly once players get to the NFL level.
Let me ask you a question I didn't put in the notes because I'm a bad host. Right now, who is the best receiver in the NFL based on your charting?
Justin Jefferson. Sustained success just over the last 3 years. I think you have to put him up there from that standpoint. I mean, really, the way he hit the NFL field and was right away over 90th percentile against man and press coverage in again, consistent seasons like that. I would give it to Justin Jefferson. Had you asked me this question a year ago, I probably would have wanted to include Davante Adams in that discussion, because he was a player who, I think Davante Adams is actually the most fascinating player in reception perception history, because when he first started in the NFL, he was, I mean, like literally at the bottom of the league in terms of his ability to beat man, press, and zone coverage. Like, he was, if you go look in the reception perception full history databases, he is down there with like Devin Funchess and Devontae Parker and like Jalen Rager, Justin Hunter. Shout out to Justin Hunter.
I didn't know where that was headed, but I didn't see Devin Funchess.
Yep, Devin Funchess. I mean, he's, like I said, Justin Hunter. Shout out to Justin Hunter, Ocean Lakes High School, right up the street.
Sure.
That's the name. That's the names that he was around. Now you look at him, obviously in his first season with the Raiders and there with the Packers, he's at like the 96th, 97th, 99th percentile in terms of his ability to beat man and press coverage. So really something I haven't seen since I've been doing this for a decade now, a player to go from the bottom of the league to the top. I'm betting on that never happening again. So again, if you asked me like a year ago, I probably would have included his name here too.
I like when guys are so bad that their only contemporaries are guys you totally forgot about. And the example I'll give, it didn't have the same rise, but when Jared Goff was a rookie, he was putting up abysmal, like, I mean, Zach Wilson has recalibrated what we think about bad rookies. But before that, Jared Goff was really bad under Jeff Fisher. And I remember looking at the worst rookie quarterbacks of all time, and it was like Andrew Walter. It was like all these guys where you're just like, yeah. Oh, my God. I'm so glad Jared Goff was as bad as to get in an Andrew Walter Wikipedia rabbit hole. So Devin Funchess, I haven't thought about him in 4 years.
I actually thought about him yesterday because I saw some graphic about like the worst free agent signings that a team has made. And he was up there getting like a $10 million deal from the Colts, which I forget that happened.
Yeah. I forgot about it until you, now I'm triggered. I want to move off this as quickly as possible. There's a
good
lot
idea.
Of Colts fans listening. They don't want to hear this. This is not good. All right. So we want to do the draft and kind of lessons that you apply to the draft, knowing what you know about the position and all of that. And we'll start here. Your top receiver in the draft is who?
Yeah, my top receiver is Marvin Harrison. From my personal standpoint, the way I've approached the top three of this class, which is Marvin Harrison, Rome Odunze, and Malik Nabers, I have it in that order. If you have it in a different order, I'm not going to get in like a 10-tweet fight with you about it. You know, you like Malik Nabers over Rome Odunze, you like Malik Nabers over Marvin Harrison Jr. That's fine with me. These guys are all tier one graded prospects on my stacked board over the last 4 draft classes, which is just to say they're worth top 10 picks. They're worth, you know, being considered like superstar receivers very early on in their career if they hit their ceilings. But for me, the reason I ended up giving it to Harrison was just that I think he's shown over multiple seasons sustained success. I think he's a polished route runner. His success rate versus press as a true X receiver in reception perception is very high for a guy that you want to see winning at that position. And then just kind of the final nail in the coffin, because I really debated it between him and Rome Odunze. I know you had Rome Odunze on the show, and like, I'm such a fan of his game. I think he's got such a clean profile.
That's my eval, though, is just who comes on my show. That's called pandering. Yeah, no, literally. I mean, any of these guys. Keon Coleman would be wide receiver 1 if he comes on next week. That's just how I do it. No, I'm kidding.
We can have a very good conversation about Keon Coleman in that standpoint. But I think the thing with Rome Odunze, again, super clean profile, but Marvin Harrison sustained success. And then if you look at his reception perception profile, he was doubled at the highest rate that I've charted of any draft class since I've been doing this, assigned that extra defensive attention. And his success rate, which in reception perception is just getting open, executing the assignment, he's got the highest success rate among players that have even been doubled at like 50% of the amount that he has. So that is what ultimately pushed him in a very close race between him and Rome Odunze to be my top prospect.
Okay, I want to dig into that, but I want to ask, you mentioned the three, what'd you say, tier one prospects?
Tier one prospects, yeah.
They phrased it. Can you compare that to some of the other draft classes we've seen? Because receivers are just coming out hot and heavy every single year. And you think about, for instance, the 2022 draft where you have Drake London, you have Garrett Wilson, you have Chris Olave, Jameson Williams, Treylon Burks, Jahan Dotson. Like, obviously, there's a drop-off there, but, like, this group of three is the best we've seen? Does it compare with another draft class over the past decade? Like, put it in context, because it just feels like every single year we go, oh, there's so many special receivers in this draft. Last year was a bit of an exception in that, mm-hmm. but it just feels like they're coming in every year more prepared. Is this, like, a historic group or not?
I actually think it's very comparable to that 22 draft class. And you're right that every single year people are going to be hitting me up for like, oh, you got to chart this draft class because it's like the best we've seen since this, that, or the other. And it just feels like every year we get guys that are extremely prepared for the league, that are extremely ready to execute in a world where I think coaches are more willing to meet them halfway than they were certainly mm-hmm. 10 years ago when I started this. But I would even say like 5 years ago, like there are roles available for players now in the league that just wouldn't have existed even 5 years ago. In my opinion, I do think it's very similar to that 22 draft class because you kind of have your big perimeter X receiver, which would be Drake London. And I think that's Marvin Harrison Jr. But I think Marvin Harrison's a better prospect. I think he's got a little more juice to him than Drake London did, although I always was a big fan of Drake London, his ability to separate a little mm-hmm. more than credited. I think Drake London's turned into a very good pro. You've also got your highly refined route runner type, which to me is Rome Odunze to Chris Olave. Mm-hmm. You know, a guy that's been in school for a long time. And, you know, some people kind of question that from a production standpoint. But and then you look at the third guy, which I rank Garrett Wilson third among that group in that draft class. And I'm ranked Malik Nabers third in this draft class because both those guys are kind of like wild horse route runners in a way. They get separation and they do get open. But I would say that Wilson was the least refined of those three prospects that year. And I think that Malik Nabers is the least refined of these three prospects this year. That being said, though, Garrett Wilson hits the NFL field, and in his rookie season reception perception profile, he has an 81.2% success rate versus press coverage, which if you hit that mark as a rookie, like over 80%, the list is CeeDee Lamb, Michael Thomas, Tyreek Hill, Jamar Chase, Justin Jefferson, and Odell Beckham. So like very good company. So that's how quickly that if you take to coaching and you kind of evolve from the raw aspects of your game and you hone that with your athleticism, you can go from being what, again, I would say was like that wild horse route runner type to a guy that I think is a really detailed technician and one of the best receivers in the league. So that is certainly available for Malik Nabers too. So I think this year is actually pretty comparable to that 22 draft class.
All right. So let's say in 3 years of doing the show and somebody says to you, no names, they just say, wow, I can't believe a guy who wasn't in the top three is the best receiver in that class. Who are you betting it is?
I would bet it's A.D. Mitchell from Texas. If you're saying like a guy that is just becomes the best receiver here, because I think he has all the traits of a high quality number one receiver. I also think he's gotten a little underrated in his route running as well, because you know people kind of get on him for taking plays off, and he's not a good zone beater necessarily. Like in terms of his success rate versus zone is a little lower certainly than any of these top three draft prospects. But when he's working in just like man coverage isolation situations, he's got an over 80 percentile success rate versus man and press coverage, because he's got this like way of running routes, and I think people say like, is he not running at full speed? Is he kind of like loafing through this route? But it's almost similar to like how DeAndre Hopkins would kind of lull you to sleep as a route runner, and then would get open in those like short areas. I see A.D. Mitchell, if he hits a ceiling, kind of being that type of player. He also has the ball skills to win downfield. I think he tracks the ball extremely well. And man, like Kevin, watching that Texas offense, not fun. Okay, not great. The back-to-back days I spent charting A.D. Mitchell then Xavier Worthy, not two of my favorite calendar days so far here in 24, especially just because there's a lot of plays left on the field there by Quinn Ewers. A lot of like specifically outbreaking routes that if A.D. Mitchell finds himself to the right quarterback, that's going to, you know, drive the ball downfield on those vertical routes. I think that can obviously maximize the production. He's very similar coming out, at least to a guy like George Pickens, where not fully refined, but the freaky moments are there. And then by like the end of year two, we could be talking about a guy that if he puts it all together, can launch himself into like maybe the second tier of NFL receivers.
Interesting. Okay. So with Rome Odunze in particular, when we had our conversation, we talked about how he studies Davante Adams, the aforementioned Davante Adams, and Keenan Allen. And I think that a lot of times, this is a weird thing to say, but I've talked to talent evaluators where those comps, and I think Rome Odunze is, he's my favorite wide receiver in the draft, independent of the interview. But I think that sometimes those comps scare talent evaluators because, as he said, Davante Adams, huge gains, you know, Keenan Allen, like it's not as obvious. And we actually talked a little bit about like Ja'Marr Chase, you know, how and him when contested catches are your specialty or you know, sometimes that doesn't translate to the NFL level. Is there something you circle with Rome Odunze that he needs to get better at in order to get as good as a Marvin Harrison, or is it just a different type of player that you just feel like is one notch below?
Yeah, it's really splitting hairs to me. I don't know that there's something that I look at Rome Odunze and think like he's got to get better you know, at this, or like this is a real weakness in his game. I definitely understand the idea that like these crafty route runner types, the guys that have to max out their physical skill sets by becoming really A-plus tier technicians like Davante Adams and Keenan Allen, I understand why that's like scary for talent evaluators. But I don't know, man, I'd argue that it's scarier if like you're telling me, oh, this guy's comp is DeSean Jackson, or this guy's comp is Debo Samuel, or this guy's comp is Devontae Smith. Like he's ready to join the holy trinity of like comps you should not make, because those guys are just such one of one unique unicorn players that like the history of draft misses is littered with the ghosts of comparisons from those three players, but well, especially the first two. And I think Devontae Smith comps will start to get up there as well. So to me, I guess I understand the temptation there, but yeah, with Rome Odunze, I don't think there's one thing where I'm really harping on him as a weakness point. Cause man, like if we were to sit here and do a superlative show on these prospects, like I could say that Rome Odunze has a case to be the best route runner, has a case to be the best hands, has a case to just be the overall most reliable player, the easiest projection at X. So if Marvin Harrison didn't exist, I would have him as the, like, I'll put it to you this way. Again, I mentioned that stacked receiver board from the last four classes. I have him third on that board behind Marvin Harrison and Ja'Marr Chase. And that's it. Like, that's how highly I view him as a prospect.
How far does that go back?
Just the last 4 years.
Okay. Yeah, no, that seems right. I mean, I love the guy. And I think his floor is really, really, really high. And I would not hesitate to draft him as the first or second wide receiver. And that's going to be really early. I mean, like people have said, I think Dallas Turner might break this, but people have said it might be all offense in the top 10. And I'm starting to believe that a little bit. Give me a name no one is talking about enough.
I don't know if no one is talking about enough. But one guy that I know why people aren't talking about him, because there are character concerns with the player. But like I popped on Jermaine Burton's film from Alabama, and like that, I was kind of surprised, like, why is nobody talking about him? And then you had to ask some people that I trust about like, why is no one talking about this guy? And they're like, yeah, he has red flags, stuff like that. You know, but man, the guy in terms of his ability to beat man coverage down the field, super impressive. Like, we talk about how Jameson Williams got himself drafted in the first round a couple of years ago because he could outrun an entire SEC defense. Like, you see Jermaine Burton do that sometimes too, and that's a very different Alabama offense with a very different quarterback that they're playing in a definitely different fashion. But I love the speed. I love his ability to just kind of win routes in isolation. So again, I understand why there's not so much hype there, but he's a guy I think deserves, just his film deserves the hype. A player that I think is not getting talked about enough that I think is probably different archetype of player and maybe a little more reliable is Malik Washington out of UVA. Like, they ran the entire offense out of Malik Washington, broke multiple school records. He's never going to get you know, butts out of the seat in terms of like this archetype of receiver, like, oh, the reliable, crafty slot guy. But if he goes to a spread offense that wants that type of player, like, I think he's a much better prospect than like a Wandell Robinson, who went in the second round a few years ago, kind of in that same archetype. So I wouldn't be surprised by the end of his rookie season, he's caught just like a boatload of passes.
Fascinating. All right. Tell people where they can find you.
Yeah, you can find a lot of my work over at Yahoo, like Kevin mentioned at the top, but receptionperception.com is where a lot of the stuff that I've mentioned here today you can find. You can find profiles on a ton of these top receivers, reception perception data on all of the pro guys. I start rolling that out throughout the summer, so that's the best place to find all this receiver information.
Thank you, buddy.
Appreciate you, Kevin.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.